Good morning. Merry Christmas. I don't know what offends people more, the Merry or the Christmas part of it, but I notice they say Happy Holidays a lot. And I don't know why it's becoming, in this country, unpopular to say Merry Christmas, so Merry Christmas. We're going to talk about the Christ this morning, God's gift to man, a Savior is born. That's quite a gift. That's quite the gift. In our Sunday nights, if you haven't been coming, you've been missing some things. And I'm not saying that because I'm teaching, but Brother Francis Chan has taken us on a journey through the Old Testament that has really helped me to grasp fully what God has done for His people in Christ. In the book of Genesis, we read where Adam and Eve sinned and they hid when they heard God coming. And Adam's response was, I was afraid. You know, for the first time in his life, he was afraid to face God. And God said to the serpent, I'm going to send the seed of the woman and he's going to crush your head. And then we learn of a man named Abram who lived in Ur of the Chaldees. And God, in His grace, called this man. I say by grace because Joshua bears witness that Abram and his people worshipped idols across the Euphrates. So God, in His grace, called this man named Abram, and He said, I want you to take your wife, your possessions, and I want you to leave your father's house, leave your country, and come down here to this other country that I'll show you. And he says, I will give it to your descendants. And when Abram got down there, God said to Abram, I will give you a son. Abram said, how do I know that? And God had him divide the animal's halves, and the blood run down to the center. And it said, when a great darkness came, Abram became afraid, and he saw a torch pass between the pieces. And God took an old covenant that they practiced in those days and performed it with this man. And God said, know of a surety, your seed will be evil and treated in a land that isn't theirs for 400 years. Then I'll bring them out and give them this place. I read the significance of that was the men would in that day would do that when they made a covenant. And when they walked through the blood barefoot, they would say, may my blood be shed. May I die like this if I don't keep my end of the covenant. We learn that the Abrahamic covenant was unconditional. By that, you don't read anywhere where God says, now this is what you do, and then I'll do that. But if you don't do this, I'm not going to do this. He gave him circumcision. The Apostle Paul said, as a seal of the righteousness he already had. And then God took the children of Abraham. They were in Egypt in slavery for 400 years. He brought them to Sinai through a man named Moses. And he gave them the law. That was a different covenant than the covenant of Abraham. And it was conditional. God said, here's my law. Here's what I expect of you. If you keep it, I will bless you. Everywhere you go, I'll bless the fruit of your womb. I'll bless your animals. He said, none of you will have miscarriages. I'll bless what's in the basket. I'll bless what's in the crops. One place he talked about where the guy plowing's going to overtake the reaper. God said, I'll just bless you every time you turn around. But he said, now here's the downside of this covenant. If you don't keep it, I'll curse you. I'll curse the fruit of your womb. I'll curse your livestock. I'll curse the ground. I'll cause the rain not to fall. You'll know what it's really like to be hungry. God said, I'll bring the diseases on you that came on Egypt. And he said, if you persist in it, I will drive you out of this land. In fact, the language is kind of gross. The Hebrew God says, the land will spit you out, expulse you. You'll be expulsed from the land. The land will just vomit you up. That was a conditional covenant, by the way. God said, here's my law. Keep it and you're blessed. Break it and you're cursed. No one could keep it. And then last week we talked about the new covenant that God said he was going to make with man. And you know something? This is unconditional. Several times in Jeremiah, God says, I will. There's nothing in it that says, now this is what I want from you. He said, I will put my laws in their hearts and on their minds. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach a neighbor saying, know his Lord, because they will all know me from the least to the greatest. Everything in Jeremiah 31 is I will. God doesn't say in the new covenant, if you do this, I'll bless you. I'll bring you into the covenant. Now here's where it's conditional in my views. You have to receive that. And that's what we're going to talk about today. A Savior has been born. The old familiar Christmas text. You can go about any church in Mansfield this morning, and I will almost guarantee that in 99% of the churches, this is the text being preached. Out of the book of Luke. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinus was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel when he was conceived in the womb. Father, we come before you on this special Sunday to us to celebrate the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ, to marvel at the mercy that you have shown to us who were not your people, and now we may be called the people of God because of your great sacrifice. We praise you for that this morning. Lord Jesus, I praise you that you, who were God the Word, was willing to become a man, a servant, and you came here and humbled yourself. Lord Jesus, this was good in your sight, and it was the will of the Father, and I thank you for obeying that will. I ask a blessing on every family here this morning, everyone represented here. May we come out of here this morning with a greater understanding of who we are and what you have done for us. I know your word doesn't return to you void. It will do what you send it out to do. Holy Spirit, come and do what you've been called to do. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I shared with Dr. Mark before Sunday school, and I'm not going into full detail, but yesterday was such a blessed day for me. It was something that I needed, and I was getting washed up, cleaned up in the morning, getting my pajamas off, getting my clothes on, getting ready to meet today, thinking and meditating on some things. And the Spirit of God rose up inside of me and reminded me of the truth. He said, you don't belong to this world. You're mine. You are a son of God. You are a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You are here for a purpose. And when my purpose is over, you will come home. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I had a great day yesterday. For my Heavenly Father to remind me that I'm His son. I've got a terrible past. It haunts me at times. And I look back and think, how could I have done that? How could I have said that? How could I have caused this kind of trouble? And when I preached last week, the Holy Spirit brought that to my memory yesterday morning when I stand in front of a mirror. And God says, and their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. And the Lord said, you're my son, Rick. I don't remember any of that that you did, and it's time you stop thinking about what you did in the past. Boy, that blessed my heart. So if I get a little happy today, then please excuse me. The Lord had been silent for over 400 years. This is called intertestamental period. In Bible college. This is what the scholars thought. In between the testaments. And he fulfilled what he said to a prophet named Amos. He said, behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine for bread or thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea and from north even to the east. They shall run to and fro and seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it. What a sad statement for God to make to this prophet. He had warned them for over 400 years through his prophets of their sin and the consequences. And they kept ignoring him and ignoring him. And Amos is called one of the minor prophets. Amos was a shepherd, a fig picker. In fact, one king rebuked him for prophesying. He said, go back home, prophet. And Amos said, I ain't a prophet, man. I'm a fig picking shepherd. I don't even know what I'm doing here. God just told me to come down here and tell you this. And God said to his people, okay, you don't want to listen to me anymore? I'm not going to talk to you anymore. There's going to be a famine in the land. You will hunger and thirst and long to hear the word, and you won't hear it. But the Bible says when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law to redeem those who were under the law. I like that part in Forrest Gump when he's talking about him and Lieutenant Dan out shrimping. And Lieutenant Dan was mad and it was storming, or just before the storm. And Lieutenant Dan said, where's this God of yours? And Forrest said, God showed up. You know, this big storm hit at sea. I love the way that this character perceived that. Well, what we're talking about today, God showed up. He hadn't spoken for over 400 years. And the things that began to happen in the Spirit were amazing. First, he sent an angel to a man named Zechariah. And he said, you and your wife are going to have a child. They were childless. They were old. And Zechariah, maybe he didn't remember what God did for Abraham and Sarah, but he said, how do I know that? And the angel said, well, here's how you know it. I'm Gabriel, and I stand in God's presence, and I said it's going to happen. And he said, here's your sign. You won't be able to talk until the baby's born. And so Zechariah came out of the temple signaling. And the people said, he must have saw a vision. What a thing. God said, I'm going to do this for you, but you can't tell anybody. And it said when John was born, and they made signs to him. You know how people do that to handicapped people? They figure if they can't talk, they probably are kind of dense and they can't hear very good. What do you want to call him? I love that. Every time I read it. And they made signs to him. Well, the man could still read. He could still hear. You know, I wonder why they didn't say, hey, Zechariah, what are you going to name you? What do you want to call him? And he wrote down, his name is John, and his mouth was open. He began to praise the Lord. The angel Gabriel told him, you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord, and he must not drink wine nor strong drink. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. God showed up. God hadn't spoken 400 years. Zechariah's in there burning incense because that was what he was supposed to do. And he looks up and there's Gabriel. He says, "Don't freak out, Zechariah." That's my interpretation of the Greek. He says, "Don't freak out. I've got some good news. Your wife's going to have a son, and he's going to be a prophet." See, the Jews taught that Elijah personally had to come. That's what happened when we think we got the Bible figured out and nobody else does. You know, well, Elijah has to come. The angel didn't say he was Elijah personally. He said he was coming in the spirit of Elijah. And he said he'll be filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. And he's going to be a great prophet of the Lord. That signaled to this priest and to anybody else that cared to think about what the Scriptures were saying that Messiah was coming. And then that same angel turned around and 6 months later went to a town called Nazareth, and there was a young girl there, a Jewish girl, probably about 14, 15 years of age. And it said he hailed her and said, "Hail, greatly blessed of the Lord." And she was curious about what this meaning was. You see, in Mary's day, men didn't speak to women. If you weren't king, you didn't speak on the street. And this man not only spoke to her, he called her blessed of the Lord. And he said, "I don't want you to be afraid, Mary." He said, "You're going to have a child. And I want you to name him Jesus." And Mary said, "How's that going to be? I've never been with a man." And the angel said, "The power of the Most High will overshadow you. That conceived in your womb will be by the Holy Spirit. So he will be called the Son of God." And it said, "This fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, 'Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall name him Emmanuel,' which means God with us." At this time in human history, God showed up. But it amazes me. I would think that God would have sounded it from the mountains and given everybody an equal opportunity to understand, "Hey, I'm moving again," but he doesn't. We read in this passage that he appears to some shepherds, and shepherds were not held in very high esteem in those days. They smelled like animals. They lived with the animals. Some of them didn't get to come to the Jewish feast because they were watching their flocks. They couldn't leave their sheep and come to the feast. So they were kind of on the outside. They were still Jews, but they were kind of the outside Jews, the untouchables, so to speak. Not as bad as a leper, but kind of. You know, they stunk. They smelled like sheep. And God came to these lowly people and he said, "Guess what? I got some great news for you. A Savior's been born in the city of David, who is Christ the Lord." I'm going to tell you, these names are so significant. I'm going to talk about them here in a few minutes. These aren't just pulled out of the air. Every one of these names has a significance as to the office and the person of this baby that was born. He spoke to these lowly shepherds. How come he didn't go to Caiaphas' house, who would have been high priest at that time? When he got older, his son-in-law became the high priest, but he'd have been the high priest at that time. Why didn't God send Gabriel to Caiaphas' house, the chief priest? Why didn't God send Gabriel to the Sanhedrin? You ever wonder about that? Why didn't God just plainly send Gabriel into the Sanhedrin? You think if he'd have shown up with the glory of God on him like he had when he talked to the shepherds, that they'd said, "No." Because Paul says that God chose the lowly things of the earth to shame the strong things. He said to the Corinthians, "Think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were esteemed." Since the world in its wisdom rejected God, God was pleased by the foolishness of what is preached to save those who believe. God keeps it simple. And he went to some simple people and he said, there's a Savior born. And like any proud father, he said, go see. Go look at him. Look at my son. I sent him here to deliver you. He told Joseph and Mary, he'll save his people from their sins. The angel told the shepherds this good news was for all people. And they couldn't fathom that. But when God said all, he meant all. Jews and Gentiles, Scythians and Greeks, barbarians, Romans, any who would accept what God was doing for them. In Isaiah the prophet, God said, thus says the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it and gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison those who sit in darkness. You know, I'm getting tired of the commercialism of Christmas, but I expect it from an unbelieving world. It doesn't have a thing to do with some fat dude in a red suit named Santa. It doesn't have a thing to do with how many gifts you're going to get or how many you're going to give. In fact, I remember my mother around Christmas time. It was not peace on earth in the Johnson house because she was trying to get food ready for family dinners. And it was, whoa, stay away from Pat when she's cooking family dinner. Don't get in her way. Unless you're going to help peel taters or something, just don't even bother her. That's what the world's made out of it. It's all about getting. What am I going to get? I saw a news clip the other day of these people in Walmart, and this man was literally just throwing these packages, and they were catching them just like cattle in line, just going through the line. And then register going ka-ching, 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 and most of us put on the plastic. I'll charge it now and spend the next 5 years paying for it. What kind of peace is that? Now, I'm not against giving, gift giving and receiving, but I'm against the spirit that the world does it in. This day that we celebrate is God's gift to us, a Savior. As I shared with you in the introduction, God could not get to man. All the way back in Genesis, just before the flood, it says men begin to call on the name of the Lord. And the Hebrew means call upon, invoke God's name. Men begin to seek after God. Some went the other direction. But men began to try to come to God, and they couldn't. There was this wall between them. And God sent this man who was going to tear down that wall. And God is inviting you this morning, come to me through this man, through this little baby we sing about, little innocent baby. His name is Jesus. The Hebrew is Yeshua. It means God saves. He is the offspring of the woman in Genesis 3. He is the offspring of Abraham in Genesis 22. He is Shiloh from the tribe of Judah, spoken of in Genesis 49. He is Christ, the anointed Messiah. He is Lord, the proper name of Yahweh, of God. He is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, When Mary nursed this baby boy, she was feeding the one who said, I know all the birds of the hills and all that moves in the field is mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world and the fullness are mine. And she nursed him. And the one that said that sat down at a well one day and said to a woman of questionable character, can I have a drink? Think about that. The one who said, if I was hungry, I wouldn't tell you. You can't minister to me. I don't need you to minister to me. The whole world is mine. He humbled himself and became a man, and he depended on this woman for his feed. He depended on this woman to keep him warm and to keep him safe. He asked a woman of questionable character if he could please have a drink. The Bible said he was wearied with his journey. I can see Jesus sitting on that well, and you working men especially know what I'm talking about. Wore out. And he used that time to minister to this woman and offer her living water. God's gift to man was life. Adam brought sin and death into the world. And if you are not a Christian this morning, that's where you're at. I don't care if you believe in God. Well, I do care. I'm glad if you believe in Him, but that will not save you. The demons believe in Him. And the Bible says they tremble in fear. God doesn't want you to know about Him. What I told you last week from the Word, He wants you to know Him. And I asked you that last week. Do you know the Lord God? More importantly, does He know you? One of my favorite stories in Acts, Paul had been casting demons out. And this man named Sceva had 7 sons who were exorcists. And they was watching Paul cast demons out in the name of Jesus. And it said they went into this house to this demon-possessed man and said, in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, come out! And the demon looked at him and said, well, now I know Jesus and I know Paul, but who are you? And he leapt upon him and they left the house wounded and naked. They got monkey stomped is what happened. Do the demons know you? If you're a joint heir with Jesus Christ, they should know you. They should fear you. Oh, brother, that's getting a little too Pentecostal. That's getting off in the twilight zone. Does Jesus know you? He said on that day, many shall say to you, but Lord, I preached in your name. I cast demons out in your name. I've done all these wonderful things. And he said, I will look at them. And the Greek says very plainly, no mistakes, I never knew you because you didn't know me. What a God. Think about this. On this morning that we celebrate the birth of our Savior, God became intimate with us again. And He said, into me, see. He became a man. And He said, I will put myself in a form that you can look at and not die. And I can talk to you and you can talk to me. And I can heal your diseases. And I can set you free from that bondage of sin that you're in. Face to face, one on one. That's the gift God gave to us. And to this day, we still want to turn that down and try to come to Him on our terms. Well, I believe in Jesus. I think He was a good teacher. Then you're lost. Well, I think that, you know, you can get to God a lot of different ways. You're lost. Not only are you lost, you're deceived. you're tricked. He's the one who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. The Greek means clung to. The Word of God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Greek's emphatic. The Word was God Himself. And it can be translated, or the Word Himself was God. And Paul said he didn't cling to that. Jesus did not cling to His deity and say, no, I'm not going to a cross. I'm not going to let them spit on me and tear my back up with a whip. I'm God. He didn't say that. He put it aside. And He said what He said in the garden, Father, not what I will, but what You will be done. That's how much God loves you. And maybe some of you are sitting here this morning and God has been talking to you. He's been in your thoughts. And you just keep pushing Him back. Maybe another day. Maybe another time. Let me think about this a while. What do you need to think about? What do you need to consider? There's nobody else who's ever loved you like that. He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Wait a minute, Rick. We're talking about the little cute baby. You know, the baby story with the wise men and the camels and... Yeah, I'm talking about the same guy. The minute He drew His first breath, He came here to die. That was His purpose. Well, yeah, we're all born to die. I believe the minute that we're born, the clock starts ticking. 10, 9. Hey, some of us have longer than others. Some of us don't get much time. Some of us get a lot of time. We're all born to die. But this man was born whom death could not touch. He said, I am the good shepherd. I lay my life down for the sheep. Nobody takes it away from me. I lay it down. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to pick it back up. But He had to die for you. Because the law required death for sin. The law required that everything had to be cleansed with blood, and the blood of bulls and goats couldn't take away our sins. Your good works cannot bring you to God. You can't be a good enough person. I appreciate at Christmas how people, their benevolence seems to come up a little better, and they want to do for people, and they start looking around and saying, we need to do something for somebody. But Christian, we need to be that way 365 days a year. We need to be looking around on those that we can help. And James said, when it's in our power, help them. But it is shallow. Paul said, if I give everything I have to the poor and I give my body to be burned, but I have not love, it profits me nothing. Think about that. Man, you mean if I give myself to be burned alive at the stake, to suffer a torturous death, but I don't have love, God's not the least bit impressed with that. You just got fried. God said, ooh, I bet that hurt. He sent salvation to and to me and to the world. Little bitty baby. Who was the great I Am. Mary and Joseph took turns taking that little boy by the hand and walking with him, teaching him to walk. I wonder if they understood that that was the one who said, I got Israel by the hand and I led him out of Egypt. How could God do something like that? To me, that'd be like me or you agreeing to become a cockroach. For God so loved that He gave. And the Bible says, while we were still sinners, God did not look on the earth and say, well, they're worth redeeming. they've been pretty good this year, so I'm going to put my plan in motion. No, God looked upon man whom he created to have fellowship with him, and he said, man, I want you guys to know me. I want to be able to have fellowship with you. I want to be able to bless you. But I can't. There's this big gulf between us. It's sin. And you can't do anything to get across it. So I'm going to bridge that gulf for you through my Son, Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. This probably would get me shot in the Middle East. Muhammad will not get you to heaven. May get me shot here. That's all right. I'm ready to go. Buddha will not get you to heaven. New Age will not get you to heaven. Good works will not get you to heaven. There's no other name given whereby men must be saved than the name of Jesus. And that's who we gather to celebrate this morning. You didn't think I'd talk about salvation on Christmas. I didn't plan on it till yesterday. Ever since creation and the fall, God has actively been at work getting back into the affairs of men. And he's actively been at work at bringing us to a point that he can reconcile us to himself, that we can have fellowship with him again. The scholars, the theologians call this original righteousness. Back to Eden. Well, man, I'm living in this old world. It ain't Eden, I know. But you know what? When I hear the voice of my Father, I don't have to go hide. Glory to God. I can remember a time in my life when I sensed the Spirit of God, I ducked. I tried to hide. I didn't want him. I didn't want that light. I was too convicted. I didn't like being around Christians, especially spiritual Christians, the ones who were in love with Jesus Christ and couldn't help but talk about him. Now, when my Father wants to talk to me, I can walk right up and say, hi, Dad. Amen. And he looks at me and says, hi, son. When's the last time you spent any time with your dad? If he's your father, when's the last time you spent some time with him? Just to spend time with him. I'm pretty selfish sometimes. I thank God for things, and I thank him for things that I don't have, like cancer, you know, bad things. But sometimes I get to thinking, if he never does anything else in my life for me, I still have plenty to be thankful for. Corrie Ten Boom's sister thanked him for being in a barracks infested with fleas and lice. Could you do that? Could I? You know, yesterday when I was having this blessed fellowship with the Holy Spirit, and I got to thanking God for that, and I was reminded of a passage in Hebrews about Jesus. It said, even though he was a son, he learned obedience through the things that he suffered. Gotcha. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. Can you say that this morning? Do you have him? Do you know him? I'm not asking if you know about him. Everybody in this room knows about Jesus. How many in this room know him? Have been acquainted with him? Have been introduced to him? How many of you call him Lord? Not just Savior. Lord, Master, King, Ruler of my heart. There's a constant struggle going on in the hearts of Christians even. And I've been sharing this with the young people on Wednesday night. It's who's going to sit in the throne. We're usually there. And Jesus Christ comes into the throne room of our hearts and He says, get out of my chair. And that's up to you and I to allow Him to come sit down there and to keep Him there. Why don't you stand with me this morning? On Friday when we gather with our families and we watch our grandkids open their presents and we're tickled at their responses, that's all cool. But remember the gift that God gave you. Mary wrapped Him in cloths. And that was God's gift to the world, a Savior. If you're here this morning and you've never come to know Jesus Christ personally, I want to invite you to come down here and sit down and we'll talk about it. If you're here this morning and you want to place membership in this church, if you're an immersed believer in Jesus Christ, you have been baptized by immersion, and you want to place membership in this church, then I invite you to come as we sing the song of invitation. Things are kind of a drag, so be praying for Gary. I pray that everything's going to be fine. I'd rather take one of them and say, hey, you're okay, than not take one and find out I wasn't okay. But be lifting him up in prayer. Remember to be praying for Lori's and Tim's son, Shane Allen, and Mandy, his wife. Shane's going through problems with depression and anxiety, and he's in between jobs, and I know Mom's about wore out, running back and forth trying to help out with the kids and everything. So be praying for them. Any other prayer requests? Or, yes, Doc? Praise the Lord. Amen. Brother Wayne, you had something? You know, some of the greatest time of depression is during this holiday. So if you get a chance, you know, share some happiness with somebody, especially those who are alone. Yes, Maxine. Mm-hmm. Okay. Is Miss Wilma? All right. Be lifting Loretta up in prayer. Anyone else? Yeah, our daughter Stephanie tomorrow's having that surgery on her eyelid, and they're going to have to reconstruct this, and she's pretty scared. And we're also praying that when they test it, it'll be benign. So So please remember that. We got a lot of prayer requests. But we got a big God. And He can remember everyone we can't. All right. Well, I'm going to ask Brother Don to close for us in prayer, if he will.